Welcome to Communication Made Simple, a podcast to learn about how to speak with confidence, prepare your message, listen actively, give and receive feedback, and much more. I'm your host, José Mota, a communication coach with 15 years of experience in the software industry. Visit www.josemota.net to get your free coaching call or email me at podcast@josemota.net. Let's get on with the show. You're listening to my Communication Six-Pack series, where I break down six key themes of communication to help you improve the way you speak, listen, and collaborate with others. We're continuing the theme of nonverbal communication and its role in the way people perceive our message. If you like what you're listening, consider subscribing to stay up to date on future episodes. We've been exploring posture and gestures lately. They are incredible resources that take advantage of the visual senses and pairing them with the actual message that others hear. Because we now understand how effective gestures are, it becomes important to realize the conditions in which we do them, specifically the space and boundaries we have available. Also, when interacting with others, we want to actively engage with them, create an impactful experience, and somehow justify the time and energy they're spending with us. When you talk with others, how do you increase your confidence while still being respectful of others? How do you leverage the space around you to send a message more meaningfully? Eye contact and the distance we stand from others, also known as proxemics, are two closely tied subjects of communication. Both of them send a message with quite an impact in a way that words alone or gestures will not. At least that is my personal argument. They both serve a specific purpose: to let the other person know how open you are to them and how they can be open towards you. They act as either catalysts for meaningful experiences or strong detractors, if that is the intention. Eye contact can be perceived as either a message of confidence and strength or a message of assertiveness and dominance. Depending on the culture, these might benefit or challenge the outcomes of the experience. Proxemics has a similar effect. Standing closer might mean approval or protection, and might also be taken in a way that is invasive. By contrast, standing further from someone might indicate distrust or fear, and might also be taken as caution and respect towards the other person. Again, it depends on the culture. Let's explore eye contact a little more. To start off, let's explore its effects or intentions. It definitely applies to a plethora of different scenarios in life. Specifically around the workplace, eye contact has quite positive intents, such as a display of attention, respect, and agreement. It can be used to show the other person that we want their trust, or to establish a meaningful connection. When you go to the office, ask yourself how many times you talk to people. Each time you do, think about the way you look at them in the eyes. Do you stare at them all the time? Do you not look at them at all? 50-50? There's no right number. The impact is the important thing. Usually there's a positive response to keeping a moderate level of meaningful eye contact, paired with appropriate gestures like nodding in agreement, smiling, illustrative hand movements, and engaging in the topic of the conversation properly, the experience becomes quite gratifying. When I was at Toastmasters some years ago, I remember having conversations with others in the group and practicing my speeches. That was the point of joining. One of the most interesting pieces of feedback that I was offered revolved around captivating the audience and keeping them interested. Looking directly at people was one of the ways. The best part of maintaining eye contact is that there's barely any skill to it. Just look at the other person's eyes. particularly when listening, because you don't have to think of anything to say. Just listen. When it's your turn to speak, it becomes much more interesting. The brain is actively translating an idea into words to be spoken, all the while actually speaking. It's an ongoing thing. That cognitive process in the brain is often represented through your eyes. For instance, if you're looking up while speaking, you're connecting your eyes to your brain, which means you're retrieving memories or formulating a response. When looking down, you're connecting to your heart, which means you're looking for feelings to express. This is why it's harder to keep eye contact when speaking compared to listening. There is such a thing as too much eye contact. The other person might feel intimidated by it, and you can't necessarily control what he or she feels at the moment. You can, however, control the amount of time you look at them based on the rapport and trust you both have. One thing I usually do is to look away when the other person is saying something I should really think about. Let me give you an example. When I'm coaching clients physically, proper space is given for them to express themselves. Otherwise, the process is not as productive as it could be. Part of that includes understanding what the client needs from us physically. If the support he or she needs requires me to not stare at them all the time, I'll do that. It might just be the opposite, where the client really wants to know we're listening and gathering their information to ask proper questions. It really depends on who we're helping. For instance, when I'm coaching online, I start by asking if my client wants to go off camera so they have the choice to stay in their zone without me looking at them if they want to. There's a reason for us coaches to ask that question. It's because it enables clients to have the ideal conditions for them to flourish. I'm going to pause for a second to inform you of my coaching practice. I am a certified executive coach from the ICF. I coach individuals and teams who build products and want to improve their performance through foundations of communication. Here are three reasons why coaching can be helpful to you. One, it is ethical. The ICF's Code of Ethics ensures you'll have all conditions to fully express yourselves, bound by confidentiality, safety, and privacy. Two, it is personal. You state the rules, the coach supports and abides by them. Three, it is powerful. The coaching process is one that supercharges your own thinking. The coach is there to catalyze your ideas and support your decisions. Start your coaching process today with me. Go to josemoda.net to get started. All right, back to the podcast. Let's now shift our focus to proxemics, the distance we keep from others. When we think of it, many questions come to mind. How close is too close? How far is too far? What are the cultural norms? What happens when I break them? I like to think that there are at least two layers of proxemics, a broader one and a narrower one. Here's how I view them. The broad layer of distance has to do with my position and distance from other people. That's the most common approach. If I'm in a meeting in a conference room or having a meal with a group, I can quickly understand who is where, what positions they take around the table, and how far they are from me. When I'm walking to greet someone and have a conversation, I consider the distance I stand from this person, as well as how I lean or even position my feet. The second layer of distance has to do with the distance I give my gestures. When I use my hands closer to me, it usually means a more intimate message, perhaps even personal, something that speaks to my experience. It might also represent emotions of sadness or even fear. On the other hand, when I aim to push my gestures away from me, I usually mean to give the audience something to think about or even answer. For instance, when I ask someone a question, I naturally push my hand away from me and direct it at them. I could be pointing, I could be showing my palm, as long as it's an outward motion. It helps the other person realize it's his or her turn. This may be considered proxemics too. In fact, it's the whole point of learning the subject, to leverage distance or variations thereof to send a more meaningful message. Depending on the circumstance, the relative distance to your audience might change. The most common scenario is direct conversation, in person or online, and I want to share you a couple of other examples to help illustrate how bigger distances can be leveraged to improve the experience of your interactions. The first one is when you're speaking in public at an event, say more than 50 people. It could be your company's offsite event, it could be a conference talk. The format is very different than the common workplace setting. Not only do you get to speak almost all the way through, you are physically demarcated from the rest of the group. There's a good chance you'll want to use all the room you have to move around and share your message more effectively. Another example is a training workshop setting, perhaps around a dozen people distributed evenly across a room. The amount of space you have as a trainer can range from getting close to a student all the way to the front of the room. I personally love to use two different parts of the room to create two distinct experiences. The first one is where I'm going through the planned materials, as usual, close to the lectern and to the whiteboard. The second one, where I'm much closer to the group, where I share stories, ask deeper questions, and explore their more personal experiences. If you've been on training before, you'll quickly realize that there is a significant difference between the two. Think about your life. Who do you talk to on a regular basis? What does it look like, considering how close or how far you stand from them during conversation? The next time you're with someone, how will you connect with them deeply and confidently, simply by looking at them in the eye? It's clear that both eye contact and proxemics strongly influence the dynamics of communication. They are silent but powerful messengers, conveying a multitude of intentions and emotions. Whether it's the confident gaze that fosters connection, or the subtle adjustments in physical distance that signal respect, these nonverbal cues shape our interactions in profound ways. Consider the scenarios you encounter, from everyday workplace talk to more formal engagements like big meetings. Reflect on how your eye contact and proxemics influence the dynamics of these interactions. Promote openness and engagement while understanding your culture and respecting the norms around each one's space and treating others respectfully. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. Stick around and subscribe through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen from. Make it a great day today. Talk soon.